Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, May 27th of 2020. Phone dropping. Miracle Man, you better stop that. I don't know what that was about. I don't know why it dropped. I feel like sometimes certain objects, if given any kind of pressure, any kind of resistance, they're just, I feel like some of these things have flaps on them and they can just fly. Like when you're looking for your wallet, you're looking for something else. You're looking for that little key or whatever that is. Sometimes all you do is drop it to the ground. It almost feels like it has a pilot license or something, and it just flies a long ways away. Have you ever noticed that happens?
Yeah.
And it flies. So it's like it has a propeller on it. Like, I didn't know my phone, my wallet, that penny, that quarter, and all that other stuff all had propellers. Now, shirts don't really have them. What do you feel like? Oh, I know. Oh, I see. What about socks?
They all have left socks in the world.
What?
But maybe all the left socks in the world.
Yeah, either they have propellers or they just crash. So they can fly even further.
Oh.
They fly. Those things fly off into never.
Maybe I need your help.
Yeah. As I would say, they get zapped and thrown into Never Never Land. Never, never land. Yep. I just said that because we just had that little malfunction. I apologize for that. Sometimes you just can't help it. So, like I said, we're so glad you could join us. It's going to be another great show, as it always is. We'll get into the word of the Lord again in a bit. And we're going to sing a couple of songs, including one that I've just heard in the past week that I've really been loving. I'm sure this is not going to be the first time that I ever sing it. I'm really excited about it. I think it could really minister to people. A lot, and so I'm really excited about it, and talks about moving up to a higher place, living in a higher place with the Lord. That's what it's about. And I just love it. I think it's gonna bless you folks a lot. I really do. And I had we'll get into the word of the Lord. And of course, first off, I'll let you know kind of how things have been going, including the opening America update. And, of course, listeners, we have to continue to curse the virus. We have to continue to curse the spirit of fear. And we have to continue to pray over our leaders. But it's great to see that America is opening back up, and the way I see it, folks, I think this could be the start of another great awakening. This could be the start of the final outpouring. I really think it could. In the spirit realm, I think it's a good possibility. And I think there is a possibility that I know of one pastor in Florida who for at least 1 week, and likely the whole month of June, he will be out in the field at his church. Out in the parking lot. He'll be out in the parking lot, but he's turning part of that parking lot into a turf field. He wanted a field. He couldn't get several different fields in the neighboring county to work, so he's doing this. And he's going to see how it goes. If it is going on when I go to Florida, I will be there for one of the nights. Have not yet decided which one it would be. But Rodney Howard Brown at the River Church and some of you may recall he was the pastor who had gotten arrested after standing up for the Constitution. Of course, the sheriff has now apologized. Now he's going to stand up for the Word of God, for the Bible, for Christianity. And he's calling it the Stand 20. The Stand 20. And Christians need to make a stand. They need to make a stand. I think business owners need to take a stand. You say, how do we take a stand? Open up. If you shut down, open up. Well, my license, they'll take it away. I don't want to hear about your license. Would you be thinking the same thing? I don't want to hear about it. Would you be thinking the same thing? I'd be like, I don't want to hear about your license.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Open. If they all open at once, they wouldn't be able to take all of them away. They'd be better off just opening them all up. Like I was saying, if we don't make a stand now, when? I mean, it has to happen sometime. And so, and if you're still one of those that are living in fear, stop. People are waking up. You're not seeing as many masks anymore. I'm always asking, like when I'm out, how we're doing. And the less that I'm wearing them, the better we're doing. The way I see it, and I was just at the grocery store here in my city today. Actually, the hypermarket. I didn't say supermarket. Hypermarket is what Europeans call the superstores that have all the clothing and all the groceries, like full grocery departments, full clothing departments, and toy departments and all that, and all under one roof. They call those hypermarkets, or some of us would call them superstores. I was at one of the local superstores here in my town, and only 35% of the people had a mask on, if that. You would have said if that? Yep. And a few weeks ago, it was like 70% had them on. At one point it was 80%.
Well, yeah.
Like I said, as far as that's concerned, we're getting a lot better. Because only 30% of them are wearing them, they're not in the same. People are not in the same fear. I was just a month and a half ago, I was disappointed in America and how much fear everybody was living in. But now America stepped up to the plate. I am appointed as much as I was disappointed a month and a half ago. I am now appointed. feeling better. That's a good way to say in the, because we always say I'm disappointed in you, but I never hear anybody say, oh, I'm appointed in you. I know, right? So, but anyhow, like I said, people are not buying the fear mongering anymore. And I know some of these places just want to keep extending it and extending it and extending it and extending it and extending it. And then they want to do this and do that and do this. People are done. They're done. 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 And like I said, I think you're going to see an awakening in the churches, in these fields. If you go to a church and your pastor decides to start holding it on a field, and hopefully it won't be about restriction, hopefully it'll be about that there's so many that the church wouldn't be able to possibly hold them. And I think this could be the start of a great revival. And then I have a couple of, as far as things opening up. Look at the state of Washington has allowed a lot of their smaller counties, 24 of the 39 counties, to open up restaurants at 50% and some other things too now. But of course, what do you know? They had to leave out Seattle and other big cities. Every state that does that, I have to ask the question, why? It's either open up or lose your business. What? It open up or lose your state. Don't play the game of, oh, this place has too many. But California, they're starting to open a lot of your more southern states, though they've went. Regardless of a lot of your southern ones, they have not allowed cities to opt out and decide that they need to keep it locked down. And namely places like Ohio, Georgia, among some others, Alabama, Louisiana, and they are opening up a lot. Disney Parks just announced, the Walt Disney Company just announced today that Walt Disney opens on the 11th for Animal Kingdom and a couple others, and then the 11th of July, and then the 15th of July for the rest of them. And then I imagine Cedar Point, Cedar Fair will do something similar. And then other parks and other places will, some will be different, some will be the same. And then in Michigan, some of your malls are starting to open up, but not all the stores in them. Namely, the ones I know of, a couple of them in the Detroit area, Great Lakes Crossing, 12 Oaks, and Somerset Collection. I haven't heard anything on Midland, Saginaw, or Genesee Valley, or Bay City. Well, have not heard anything on any of those. I imagine they will be opening soon. And so it's good to see that more places are open up. But we still got state governors and local city officials and business owners and that who have still been deciding to drink the Kool-Aid and go by fear. And have you ever seen a shirt that says don't drink the Kool-Aid? There needs to be one that says, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And what needs to happen is these shirts need to all be sent to every official who runs a city or state who refuses to open or chooses to purposely do an ultra, ultra slow. And it needs to say, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. On the front, on the sides, on the back,
yeah.
Everywhere. Because then it'll be staring in the face everywhere they look. And they get them a pair of pajamas that says it, get a pair of socks, shoes, a few mugs. And it's a whole wardrobe. Everything on it says, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Maybe then they'll get the message. And then you change their ringer to that, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't, I know, right? And then to where the, and maybe then they'll get, and maybe then they'll get the message. No, nobody ever tried to do that to me. You know, give me one that says, don't drink the Coca-Cola. Don't drink the Coca-Cola. Don't drink. No. So I see that one, I'll probably throw that in the garbage. Because that would not be cool. But, and then also, keep the local area here where I'm from here, the Midland, Sanford, Edenville area, keep it in your prayers. The floodwaters have receded. It's not flooded anymore, but there's been a lot of damage, and we have to pray that people are able to rebuild and get back what they lost. And think about it. This was a man-made disaster, totally preventable. The rain part of it, it was going to do what it was going to do. And Megan, we discussed this, a week ago that the time a couple of years ago we had received more rain by like an inch or two. Remember?
Uh-huh.
We had, mind you, all in one day. You would think that would put more pressure on it than 5 inches over 2 days, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
But then but for whatever reason, the dams decided, I'm done.
Well, they also needed repairs, though.
How did they deteriorate that much in just under 3 years?
Well, I think they needed repairs 3 years ago, and that's when the orders bought it, remember?
Yep. But the difference was, But anything that's in semi-bad shape then can go to very bad shape that quick. In a way, can slow, can moderate light pressure for over 2 days be worse than heavy pressure for like 6 hours?
It could be just like built up pressure, like enough. It had already rained, or and like the water doesn't really have anywhere to go.
But as to why it decided to go this storm, whereas last storm was more severe in terms of rain amounts. That storm we had back in June of 2017. The timing of that one to me was worse in my mind because it was getting close to July, like the 22nd. That would have been the worst if it was around the 4th. That would have been because to me the 4th, that time period around the 4th is one of the most cherished times of the entire summer every year.
Yeah.
It always, in my mind, it always is. And I've heard stories of neighbors saying, oh, we should illegalize all those fireworks that we legalized. It sounds like a war zone out here. To that I say, who cares? Who cares? The 4th of July. And sometimes it's almost like they're doing this listen and response thing. Some of these neighbors are. One shoots off, the other shoots back. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Oh. You've seen that before where it does that?
Uh-huh.
Those are like the smaller ones. Like that makes that noise. You figure that's what that was, right?
Yeah.
And then other times, oh, like in Bay City, I've been in Bay City, on Saturday night, when you were there, the neighborhood walk into the car after the fireworks were done, that was a show of its own, wasn't it? Because of all the houses shooting theirs off, that was a show of its own, wasn't it?
Not a lot of people were shooting off fireworks coming
in. Depends on the neighborhood, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you've heard that in some neighborhoods of that city, that's a show of its own. They're not as big as, and it's like they're shooting them so close to the walkers going by.
Yeah, some people are like, hey, watch it.
Bam! And it's like 5 feet in front of you, they'll wait for there to be a clearing, and then boom, goes off.
Around 4th of July, I'm working for this guy who owns KWC, and he's on the milk pond, and his feed store got burned down by somebody lighting off fireworks. They weren't being safe about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But listeners, now we're gonna pray and over. So now we're gonna pray, listeners, and then we're gonna sing a couple songs. Then we're gonna go into the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this show tonight. Thank you for all these listeners who have chosen to tune in. Thank you that you bless them, Lord Jesus, for tuning in. And I just take authority right now over this virus. I curse it in the name of Jesus. It will fall down and die. I thank you for what you are doing, Jesus, in our midst, the things you are doing. I thank you that America is in the process of opening up. And I just thank you that your will would be done. May you work on these mayors, these governors, and these leaders who want to remain stubborn. May you move and deal with them. And Lord, I thank you for those who work in the healthcare field, that you would bless them mightily. Thank you for, and that you would just strengthen them. May they be able to lead patients to you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And also, Lord, I thank you for the economy coming back, that it'll come back very strong, very quick. And I just give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. Thank you for our pastors. Thank you that churches are opening. More churches will continue to open up. May they be filled with people that are hungry for you as we go into Pentecost Sunday. In the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here in the local area. I pray that those who lost everything with the flooding, those who lost things in the flooding, may they get it back better than what they ever had. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. We're going to worship the Lord. And then we'll get into the word of the Lord tonight. Nothing could separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, no. The wind was strong and the waters deep, but I never thought I'd reach deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. Castles far too wide, I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. Oh no. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh no. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Yes, hallelujah. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails, never fails, Lord. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, got a new song for you. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight upon the clouds where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Yes, Lord, for my ways are not your ways, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, Lord. But I will come and do a thing for you. My plans are for you to bring hope and a future. And I will live in the plans of the Lord. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight upon the clouds where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. The presence of the Lord, I set my sight only on him. And these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim again. I will move up higher. The plans of the Lord, I will move up higher. I set my sights upon the clouds where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth, where they will grow strangely dim. Yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The things on earth grow strangely dim as we get closer to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for these listeners that have tuned in. Thank you, Lord God, for the word, for your wonderful word, for this time that we get to study your word tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, for these wonderful listeners that have made the time to tune in. May they receive something from your holy word tonight as we study for a little bit. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you meet every need tonight that is present. And now, Lord, I make my confession over this show tonight, that sponsors and partners come in to this program, for that finances come into this program, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for increases, big time increases in listenership. And most of all, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I think there's something about that song that is just so sweet. I think the anointing on it is strong. Pray that you listeners were blessed by it. And I just love it a lot. And I remember I had heard it a week ago. And when I had heard it, it reminded me of the songs we used to sing back when I was little. And a lot of those songs were just so powerful. I just loved them. I don't know why I was thinking that when I was in Toledo the other day over in the food court. Maybe just because it had felt so different from what it had been previous. I had seen the previous month and a half, close to 2 months, and I was feeling like that's how God wants us to be with Him. He wants us to go to a much higher place, much better place with Him. And I remember I had found myself singing that, I move up higher, specifically the chorus. And especially the part where it says, and these things on earth, that they would grow strangely dim. That's where God wants us to be with Him. Some of you may think, is that food court down there, huh? Heaven on earth? Maybe, but it's not. I mean, it is really cool. It's been one of my favorite food courts I've been in. I didn't say the, I said one of. There's others that get good honorable mentions for me. One in Detroit, a couple different ones in Tennessee, and a couple of them that I've been to in Georgia, Texas, one in Alabama. Do you notice the theme behind them? Most of them are in the southern U.S.
Yeah.
And what is it about them? A lot of my favorite ones, they have these like big towering ceilings in them. And through those, that allows sound to travel a lot. But I mean, I don't know what it is about that one that makes it like in the top 15, top 20. like about the top, I would say maybe the top 15 or so. But I was just thinking about that. And that's what God wants us to be with him, is at that higher place where these things on earth will grow strangely dim. And because the first time I heard it, I was like, it's a good song. I really like it. And I was thinking, will I sing it? Maybe. Next day, find myself singing it, the chorus of it. And I'm like, now I like it more. Next day, was thinking about it a little more. And then today, a couple hours before we went live, found myself thinking, what about that song? And I was just feeling like, well, God's saying, like, it felt something saying to me, like, Rivers, are you going to do that song or aren't you? And I felt like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. So that's why I took a couple minutes right there to kind of share the story, kind of about how I had found it. It's actually a couple years old, but that doesn't make it not good by any means. Like I said, I really love it. I don't know what the mall food court had to do with it. I still don't know. I'm going to let that go. We're going to go into the Word of God. Go to 2 Kings chapter 14. Actually, make that 15. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Praise God. Just finding my spot. And I want to encourage you to follow along. Whatever I do, you follow along. I sing, you sing, I pray, you pray. And just go from there. I'm going to begin with verse 1. In the 18th year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Judah. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. He committed all the sins his father had done before him, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David was his forefather had been. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by passing up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam throughout Abijah's lifetime. As for the other events of Abijah's reign and all he did, aren't they written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam And Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. And then I'm going to skip down a couple. We'll go to verse 27. Baasha, son of Abijah of the house of Issachar, plotted against him, and he struck him down at Gibeathon, a Philistine town, while Nahab and all Israel were besieging it. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and succeeded him as king. As soon as he began to reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family, and he did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but he destroyed them all, according to the word of the Lord, given through his servant Abijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins Jeroboam had committed and had caused Israel to commit, and because he provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger. As for the other events of Nadab's reign and all he did, aren't they written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. Now we'll go to 16 and read that. The word of the Lord came to Jehu, son of Hananiah, against Baasha. I lifted you up from the dust. I made you leader of my people Israel, but you walked in the ways of Jeroboam, actually, and you caused my people Israel to sin and to provoke me to anger by their sins. So I am about to consume Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Dogs will eat through, will eat those belong to Baasha who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. As for the other events of Baasha's reign, what he did, and his achievements, aren't they written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. And Elah, his son, succeeded him. Moreover, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani, to Baasha, his house, because of all the evil that he had done in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger by the things he did, and becoming like the house of Jeroboam, and also because he destroyed it. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, son of Baasha, became king of Israel. He reigned in Tirzah 2 years. Zimri, one of his officials, who had command of half his chariots, plotted against him. Elah was in Tirzah at the time, getting drunk in the home of the man in charge of the palace at Tirzah. Zimri came in, struck him down, and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. Then he succeeded him as king. As soon as he began to reign and was seated on the throne, he killed off Baasha's whole family, and he did not spare a single male, whether relative or friend. So Zimri destroyed the whole family of Baasha, and in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken against Baasha through the prophet Jehu, because of all the sins Baasha and his son Elah had committed and had caused Israel to commit, so that they provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their worthless idols. As for the other events of Elah's reign and all he did, aren't they written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? In the 25th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned in Tirzah 7 days. The army was encamped near Gibbethon, a Philistine town. When the Israelites in the camp heard that Zimri had plotted against the king and had murdered him, they proclaimed Zimri the commander of the army, king over Israel, that very day in the camp. Then Zimri and all the Israelites with him withdrew from Gibbethon, and they laid siege to Tirzah. Zimri saw that the city was taken. He went into the citadel of the royal palace, and he set the palace on fire around him. So he died because of the sins he had committed, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Jeroboam, and in the sin that he had committed and had caused Israel to commit. As for the other events of Zimri's reign and the rebellion he carried out, aren't they written in the annals of the kings of Israel? 21. Then the people of Israel were split by two factions. Half supported Tibni, son of Ginath, for king, and the other half supported Omri. But Omri's followers proved stronger than those of Seu. Timri died, and Omri became king. In the 21st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king of Israel. He reigned 12 years. 6 of them in Tirzah. He bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built a city on the hill, calling it Samaria, after Shemer, the name of the former town of the hill. But Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. He walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit, so that they provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their Worthless Idols. That's for the other events of Emery's reign, what he did and the things that he achieved. Aren't they written in the book of the Annals of the Kings of Israel? Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, his son, succeeded him as king. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel. And he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Oh, he not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he also married Jezebel, daughter of king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Sigil, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. Now, what you see here is many of these people that we read about, all of them but David, all of them, every one of these kings did not do right in the eyes of the Lord. They all did evil in the eyes of the Lord. A couple of them, the last two I told you about, they were worse than Jeroboam. We'll call him Jerob. I don't think you'd want to be called Jerob, would you? So the one guy, the last one we had read about, let me see his name here, Ahab, he not only did he do the things that Jeroboam did, he went as far as to marry Jezebel. And that Jezebel spirit is not good, because Jezebel would always say, "You hear that? Yes, dear." And she was not a very nice lady. She really wasn't. And Ahab, he built altars for Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal and Ashtaroth, as we know, those are false gods. False gods. And today we have, you know, the prophets of the land, and we have people that put other things in front of God. All the time. They put this in front of God. They put that in front of God. They decide that's more important than God. This is more important than God. All that other. And God said, put something in front of me, if you put something ahead of me, decide it's more important than me, then that to you is an idol. And so, all the different things today, there are different things today that would be considered, you know, Baal, you know, and you know the media and but you know some of the news media and some of these TV programs that you watch and all that. Let me tell you, here's what they'll do. They mock the Holy Ghost. They mock church. They mock communion. They mock Psalm 91. They mock worship and praise. They mock it. That's why it's time for Christians to take a stand. And not have stuff to do with those who mock our Lord. Because if you mock the Lord, you mock the things of the Lord, that's not good. And all those people that I read you about, those different kings, they all mocked, especially Ahab. And he, mind you, he married Jezebel. And as I told you, Jezebel, she was a wicked woman. Very wicked. And many of these countries, some of these countries, and the who? Some of these people, they don't want the church to get back to meeting again. They don't want the church to open back up. They don't want pastors laying hands on the sick anymore. They don't want the church to do the things that it's supposed to do. Let me tell you something. The church was not meant to be socially distanced. No. And it's time for the churches to open up. Mine's been open now a couple Sundays in a row. And Sunday night, I mean, this coming Sunday will be our third. And now we're going to start being open for live Sunday night service as well. Taking communion every Sunday night. And today, in these days, this is like the ultimate Elijah Jezebel showdown. You have Elijah, who was very godly and was in love with the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He did everything the way the Lord commanded him to do. And then there was Jezebel, the one I told you about, who was totally wicked in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the commands of the Lord his God. He did not follow the ways. He did not do what the Lord had asked of him. I mean, Jezebel did not, Ahab did not follow the ways of the Lord either. Those kings I read you about, they did not follow the ways of the Lord. They mocked him. And the modern, we got modern leaders who, by not allowing the church to meet, have basically spat in the face of our Constitution. Not only that, they've spat in the face of God. Jesus said, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, even more as you see the coming of my, the day of my coming approaching. Did you hear that, listeners? He said, even more as you see the day of the coming approaching, not less. We're afraid. There's a virus. You chicken. Yes, you are. You believe in all that? You're chicken. And then the Bible said, do not forsake the gathering together. And part of what I want to get at tonight is, don't say you love the Lord and then do otherwise. Don't say, I love the Lord, and just decide, what do I need to, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to read my Bible and pray? Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to do that? Can't I just slack? No. You shouldn't be. And I know people go on vacations and that. If where you're going on vacation has a really good spirit-filled church, and you're going to be in that area on the Sunday, go to that church for a service. Because even if you're out of town and there's a good spirit-filled water fire-baptized church where you're near, by all means, go to it. Obviously, I can't force you to. I mean, if you don't, you don't, but this isn't the time to be slacking on God. And I hope that now we all have a true yearning for the things of God, and that we would never in any way, shape, or form, knowingly or unknowingly, mock the Holy Ghost, or mock the things of God, even if we didn't mean it. May we never do that again. Because we are in the last of the last of the last of days. And so, you get time to check yourself and just see where you are at. Really make this Christian walk of yours more serious than what it's been. And we just have to work on us. Jesus said, examine yourselves. I can't examine you for you. You have to, because I don't know how you guys all are. I don't know. But I want you to make sure you're right with God and that you're serious about God and that you're not making this whole thing, walk with God, a game. Because it's not a game. And those people that I read you about, they were all kings. Some in areas of Israel, others of them were the whole country of Israel. And they did not do right in the eyes of the Lord. But Elijah and David, they did do right in the eyes of the Lord. Their God. They didn't live against the ways of the Lord. They lived for the Lord and they just were in where God had called them to be. And so they had everything that God had in mind for them. And it was good for them. All right. Now, let me just check my... Sorry about that. I was just checking something. But, like I said, you know, as Christians, we have to make a stand. We have to choose which side we want to be on. And I've heard a couple different people, well-known pastors, well-known preachers in the faith, well-known ministers, and they were wondering, are you going to come right now? A couple of weeks. They're like, is this the end of time? Like, are we just about at the tribulation or not? And God told him, my people, I am separating the wheat from the tares. You know, that story we've read about in the New Testament. There's the wheat, and then there's the weeds. And the weeds, you know, they tear through everything. That's why they're called the tares. They rip out everything. They're the ones, they'd be like those people who say they're right, but they're not. They say they love the Holy Ghost, but they mock him. They say, I believe in this, but they don't do it. They say, blah, la 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 la, but then they do not do the things that they are supposed to do. That's why we all have to seriously look at ourselves and wonder, are we doing what God, you know, are we truly the true Christians that God has called us to be. We should want to be at a higher place with God, not just stay where we are. Of course, we don't want to go lower, but we're supposed to want to move up to that higher place, to that place where the things of earth grow strangely dim. And when we truly get to that place, it'll just be awesome for us as we get to that place with God. I can't do that for you. You got to do it for yourself. Because I want you to be in that place to where you want to go higher. Not stay where you're at with the Lord, but go higher. And have all his benefits. Because, like I said, God is sifting his people. He doesn't want people that are lukewarm. He said, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. He said, I would rather that you were cold or hot, not lukewarm. Not the one that just goes with the flavor of the day. Like the guy that goes into the ice cream shop and asks, what are the flavors? You can't just go with the flavor of the day. You gotta go by this, what God's called you to, so that you can be blessed by him, everything he has for you. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you that we would get this word that we read in our hearts, in this thing I talked about. May we truly decide to go to that higher place and to live for you and not be like Jezebel, not be like those kings. That did evil in your ways, that we would instead do right in your ways. And be that light in the darkness as you have called us to be. And may we make a stand as Christians for what is right. And against, may we make this be the stand against what is evil. Even in our government, Lord. And I just give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, some of these governors and governesses who decided to shut down the church. Well, you know, some of them might have been Christians themselves. Then what do? And us here in America, our president just said the other day that churches were essential. He called for them to open. To which I said, good job. That was great that he did that. That he declared them to be an essential service, which they are an essential service. They really are an essential service. All right. All right, folks. Sorry. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that Jesus has his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Thank you that no plague shall come near us or our immediate loved ones or our dwellings. I say that no drug driver, no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no fire, no flood, no crash, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no terrorists. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great joy and great peace and great prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.